Okay, I'm back, and this is session number 5 of the Telesummit, and my guest this evening is Dr. Charlotte Resnick. Before I introduce you to her, I'm going to tell you just a little bit about me. I have a master's degree from Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia, and a bachelor's degree from Michigan State University. I am an author and the creator of the Women Outsmarting Weight System. I have 3 grown children and 3 wonderful little grandchildren, and currently reside in Waterville, Ohio with my husband. During this current decade, I've been working with women who are frustrated with their weight, but also feel this lack of authentic connection, especially regarding their own self-love. And what I do is teach them to activate the power of choice and learn a process that I created, which is called the Conscious Transformation Process, so they can create all the outcomes they desire, including releasing weight and forming healthy relationships. And currently I'm working on a new book called Mamas Don't Let Your Children Grow Up to Be Dieters, because I believe if we could raise children that know how to be healthy and not do diets, we could really make a dent in the obesity crisis we're now facing. So this Telesummit came about as my attempt to bring together experts to teach us how to nurture children physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, so they do indeed grow up with a health consciousness. And I'm so excited and very pleased that today we have with us Dr. Charlotte Resnick, LA Times best-selling author of The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. Dr. Resnick, an internationally recognized child psychologist, specializes in helping children and adolescents develop the emotional skills necessary for a happy and successful life. She is a licensed educational psychologist and associate clinical professor of psychology at UCLA. Dr. Charlotte is the creator of Imagery for Kids, Breakthrough for Learning, Creativity, and Empowerment, which she has used with thousands of children, parents, and professionals for more than 20 years. She's also the author, producer of relaxation CDs for children, teens, and parents. An international workshop leader on the healing power of children's imaginations, she's also a consultant, counselor, and healer, and maintains a private practice in Los Angeles, California. She's been a guest on NPR, NBC News, and Lifetime, and quoted in many publications. Her website is www.imageryforkids.com. So can you see now why I'm so excited to have her with us? So welcome, Dr. Charlotte. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm delighted to be here. I'm so excited. I've been really looking forward to speaking with you and everyone else out there today.
Great. Well, I have been a fan of guided imagery since the late 1980s when I was first introduced to it. And I've even created some guided imagery CDs that my clients use. So when I heard about your book for parents and the work that you do with kids, I was very determined to have you as part of this Telesummit.
Yes. I appreciate that.
So can you tell us how you came to write your book and what your goal was in writing it?
This work I've been doing for a long time. I started because I was desperate, because I was working with kids in the inner city and traditional ways of counseling weren't reaching them. I really needed to find a way to touch their heart and to touch their soul. And I had a personal experience at a conference with visualization, and my own background besides psychology is in art, so it felt very just perfect for me. And what I found was when I help kids go inside, they have so many of the answers to their challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And just by expanding and giving them permission and guiding them and giving them some simple tools, that's why I developed what I call the 9 tools, they could find the answers for most of their problems. And then I expanded working with children, say, on the west side of L.A. So I've worked with kids from all socioeconomic levels, from all ethnicities, and it's a similar pattern because the hearts are the same, the needs are the same, the desires for love are the same.
Mm-hmm.
I really felt the book needed to be written because I feel that children deserve the skills to empower themselves, the skills to make it through, to be okay no matter what is going on around them. And this is a perfect venue. I mean, the idea of how to help our kids not grow up to be dieters, I love that thought. Because if they have the skills to handle the stress in life, and everybody has stress in life,
mm-hmm.
then they don't have to eat over it. They don't have to push down their feelings.
Yeah.
One girl I'm thinking of who I quoted in the book, and she's the only one that, you know, wanted me to use her real name. She said, I used to have headaches and stomach aches, but now I feel my feelings. I learned my feelings are okay.
Yeah.
And so it also helped her not eat over her feelings and try to stuff them down,
mm-hmm.
just to actually learn that it's okay to feel them. I'm thinking of one girl who used to, when I was going into classrooms, in fact, and she would cry every week, and some kid was trying to make fun of her and she said, this is my time to cry. Just gave herself permission that this was okay. And that's true, because so many times boys are expected not to show sad feelings, girls are expected not to show anger, and then they can wind up eating and
yes.
just stuffing them down.
Yes, and that's the whole thing that that I found from working with adults. They have all this the anxiety that they've carried from their childhood still buried as limiting beliefs. And if we could teach children a way to use your tools and have their parents help them use your tools so that they don't have that belief
right.
that carries on with them forever.
And
what a difference.
Know, we all have children, inner, you know, the inner child.
Mm-hmm.
So that these tools are tools for life
mm-hmm.
so that they help parents as well as the kids. They help. I got an email from a gentleman who is not a parent, and he emailed me. He's reading my book. And he's following the tools to heal his inner child.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome. Yeah, and I could see that too as I was reading your book, that there are some wonderful tools. They are all wonderful tools, but I can see how it would apply to adults too. And I know a little later in our call, you're going to do a special meditation for us, and I think that's going to help everyone who's on the call.
Great.
I loved when Michael Phelps after the Olympics said about learning to use his imagination and how that impacted his success.
Oh my gosh, I was writing that chapter, of course, while the Olympics were going on.
Uh-huh.
And I was finishing up, and I get the chills because he said, when everyone thought it couldn't be done,
yeah.
all it took was a little imagination.
I know, isn't that
and he won
just
that impossible 8 gold medals.
Yeah, I know. I just think that that's exactly what you're teaching people to be able to do.
There is so much research in sports, especially. I mean, every team, every Olympic athlete, every team has a sports psychologist. In
mm-hmm.
college, often in high school, certainly for advanced sports, they have psychologists or people that help them use their mental imagery, their visualization, to see them succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been going on a long time. The Inner Game of Tennis is years ago, and there are other books like that. And
yeah.
it's spread out to health. Carl Symington started working with cancer patients. Gosh, when I was speaking, it was like over 20 years ago, I was speaking in New Orleans, and someone came up to me afterwards and said, you know, I'm so glad you're doing this work, that there's a little boy that she had heard of that had a brain tumor, and they thought it was inoperable. So they started using some imagery, and that was back in Pac-Man days. And so he would imagine Pac-Man little eating away at the tumor. And after about 6 months, he didn't really see it anymore. And when they did a brain scan, the tumor was pretty much gone. It had calcified.
Wow, I
and
love
it. And this boy, the name is the tip of my tongue because he survived and wrote a book about this.
Uh-huh. Yeah. When I do workshops, that are like communication skill related workshops in corporations, the fact that there's so much research coming out of sports is something that these people in the corporations can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it makes it really
mm-hmm.
easy to talk about it. So I
yes.
love that research. But let's talk about your 9 imagery tools now that you've been using in your practice. Can you walk us through the nine tools?
Oh, sure, sure. The first one, I call it the balloon breath because that's an image kids could relate to. And it's basically imagining there's a balloon in your belly about 2 inches below your belly button. And the idea is when you breathe in, you blow up with a balloon. So you're breathing down in what Eastern religion says, a dantin. And that's the center of your body. And often when we're upset or frustrated, we're breathing shallow, we're breathing in our chest, we're tightening it. Or when we ask someone to take a deep breath in, they suck in their belly. But when you let the air go out, that kind of starts to calm you right away. Physiologically, everything slows down. It's pretty hard to be angry when you're breathing in your belly for a few minutes. It just has to go somewhere else. So that's the foundation tool, to learn how to do that kind of breath. And what I do with kids is I'll often give out a strip of dots with different colors and suggest that they put them someplace that's stressful, like on their books, on a telephone, on the forehead of their mom or dad, you know, the idea is whenever you see it, is to relax, to remind yourself to take 3 balloon breaths. Because you want to build it in so that when you actually need it, when you're upset, when you're angry, when you're hurt, then you could pull on that balloon breath. Because if not, if you don't practice, just like sports, you got to practice before the game.
Right.
So you want to practice when you don't need it so that when you do need it, you can use it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's first foundation every way. And the thing is, it's really a form of meditation. So I'm teaching the kids also to learn to meditate and to connect inside. And I tell them as much as there is outside stimulation, there's that much more and inside. But, you know, Pat, when I started this work, I didn't really mention the word meditation. But now it's more commonplace and more accepted.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's fine to breathe. You could take a relaxing breath. But it really is a form of meditation. So that's really, it helps develop the kids' internal strength. So it's a wonderful thing to learn. So once you have that down, and it's pretty simple to do, if you have trouble, just lie down. If you're working with kids, maybe have them put their hand on your belly, you know, to practice it first and then put their hand on their own belly so they could feel it. And I have different positions, but you could read it all about that because there's so much. We'll move on to the second tool, which is a special place.
Okay.
And again, you want to have a safe sanctuary. You want to help your kids create a place that they could feel loved and accepted just the way they are. And this is very important for everyone, and especially heavy kids, because today one young girl told me that she doesn't like to go out anymore because she's so fat. She's, you know, she feels uncomfortable. And so we want to have a place, even if it's internal, to feel safe. And we build in that once you open the door, whoever enters into it, if you want to invite your family or friends, if they didn't before, once they walk through the door, they love and accept you just the way you are. So that helps, you know, if you've been arguing or you have a difficult relationship but you really want to be closer to a friend or a family member, that lets them come into your special place without any negative effects on you.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, besides being a respite from daily life, from a place to get away from stress, it's also a place to do your inner work. Like one girl had a special place with many rooms. She had an eating room and a playroom, and she had a work room with a table and 2 chairs. And she said that's where she sat down with her guides, which we'll talk about in a minute, and that's where she did her inner work.
Right.
So special places could be anything you want, whatever makes you feel good, inside, outside, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have scripts for them, so everyone could, you know, you could make up your own or you could follow along with the script. And once you have your breathing and your special place, then you want to consult the wisdom that's inside. And for kids and adults too, this helps because it helps trick your brain a little bit. The wisdom comes in the form of either animal friends, which are kind of protectors. They have your best interest at heart. They're loving. They could be gentle or fierce depending on what your need is. For younger kids, they might often choose their own pets. Sometimes kids choose animals that have died that seem to come back and watch over them. Sometimes kids make up animals. Like one girl put together one called that was half dog, half chicken.
Oh, jeez.
Or, One boy had a rainbow lizard. You know, everyone's different. The one, what's wonderful about these tools is that it allows for openness. Mm-hmm. Although I love guided imagery and I have guided imageries and I make CDs, the tools really help open it up so the kids could create their own images, because that's when things are really powerful.
Right.
And what I said earlier, that it kind of tricks the mind. If you say to a child, why'd you do this, or how could you do it better, they might say, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that before.
But if their animal friend suggests something, it's easier for them to hear it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of easier than being logical sometimes. It's accessing their intuitive side.
Mm-hmm.
And you have animals for all sorts of things. One boy who was going to get some tests at a hospital, he had a pride of lions surrounding his bed to keep him safe.
Oh, yeah.
And another girl who had trouble sleeping, she was afraid someone's going to break in. She had a big, enormous dragon, white dragon, protecting her, wrapped around her bed.
Mm.
And she felt really safe, because so many of our fears are not really real. They're coming from our imagination. So why not use our imagination to help combat them?
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, sometimes animal friends are great. I love them. First line of defense. But sometimes you need something more, stronger, maybe more magic. Maybe the animal friend isn't working. So you call in a wizard. And wizards are wonderful because they're kind of like master teachers, but in human form. And they could be old wizards, like the traditional wizard that you think of. I used to get a lot of those blue robes and stars. But I also get other forms of wizard. Like one girl had a young kind of crystal wizard with a tall hat. And, she, you know, she was a kind of a young wizard, you know, as opposed to the older ones, because the girl was only 7.
Uh-huh.
Or sometimes they come, one boy had Albert Einstein coming as his wizard, you know, helping him out in schoolwork. He must have forgotten Albert Einstein had trouble early on in his school.
Yeah.
He just turned to good stuff. And then what's so wonderful, they either, the animal friends and the wizards, they either talk to you or they give you a gift. A gift could help you with your troubles. Another child who, whenever she closed her eyes, she couldn't sleep. So her animal friend, which was a beautiful white unicorn with emerald green eyes, gave her a gift of a sleeping powder in a beautiful green perfume bottle. And she was supposed to sprinkle it on her and say, falling asleep. So you get gifts, and gifts could be a physical gift like the sleeping powder, of course physical in your imagination, or they could be an encouraging word. Like one little chubby girl who was being shunned by kids at school, she received both a physical gift, two things, a star crystal to remind her she's a star no matter what, a heart crystal to help her love herself and the kids even if they were making fun of her, and encouraging words like, you're okay, you're really sweet, you're really good. And those encouraging words, because it came from inside her, from her, in quotes, wizard, meant so much more than when her mom or her dad or I tried to encourage her.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the empowering part.
Mm-hmm.
So she could feel good about herself.
That sounds really powerful.
Yeah. It's just amazing what comes out of the children. I'm always surprised.
Yeah, it must be fun for you with your artistic background to be
yeah.
able to picture what they're describing.
And then we draw them often, which is, you know,
yeah.
when I'm doing workshops, I have all the kids' slides. We don't have really pictures in the book. We have descriptions, but I have beautiful drawings that they've done that really make things come alive.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And then what's so important, especially when we want our kids to, you know, really learn to accept and love themselves for who they are, is to check in with their heart and check in with their belly, their gut feelings. Because I believe there's wisdom in both places. And the mind is a wonderful thing. I love the mind. And yet, unless we connect it with the wisdom of our heart and the wisdom in our belly, we don't get a full response. We don't get the whole picture, because our heart and our gut feelings have so much to tell us.
Right.
So that's another tool, to have the kids check in with their heart and belly. And you could do it just as a matter of every day. What does your heart want to tell you? You wake up in the morning, takes less than a minute. Once you get it down, you kind of, sometimes I'll have the kids put their hand in the center of their chest at heart level, because it makes it a little bit more concrete, and see, what does your heart want to tell you about this? Or what's your heart's message for you? Or they could do it when they have a problem. Like one little girl, her heart was broken, and her parents divorced. We're in the middle of a divorce, and she had a picture of her broken heart, and she was eating because she was upset, understandably, and her parents were fighting. And her heart spoke to her and helped her make peace.
Uh-huh.
And she went from this cut in two heart with a little kitty on one side crying to being able to really calm herself down. And she actually used another tool, a little bit out of order, but it was color. I use color for healing. And so her heart was all black. It wasn't like pink or red that I often get from kids that are filled with love. Her heart was like black and ripped.
Oh.
And there was a little speck of love in there, a little speck of positive love. And then what she did, a little white speck, gold speck. And then she would breathe in that white gold speck and expand it out so she could fill up her heart.
Mm.
And once she was doing that, that picture shifted the energy around her heart and shifted how she felt. It brought her more peace just by using the color.
Mm.
Kids do this all the time with other feelings. After checking with heart and belly, I'll have them talk to other parts of their body. I call it talking to toes and other body parts, because we hold symptoms in different body parts, pain, tension, stress, and we hold feelings, anger, frustration, happiness, joy. So teaching kids to have a dialogue with their own feelings can be so empowering, because they're not learning in school that much to talk about their feelings, to even know what they are. A lot of kids, one mom was telling me, it's a new girl going to come in, and mom said, oh, she went to a therapist and she asked her how she felt. And the girl thought, feelings? What are my feelings? I don't know what they are.
It's a shame.
Doesn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
So you could start getting a sense. And when I say a sense, because not everyone visualizes or pictures, you could use imagery in other ways. They might have a sense of it. They might have a smell of it. They might hear things. Everyone's very different. I did a workshop, and one, it happened to be a therapist who was also a father, and he said he doesn't see things. He hears music. So when he thinks of love, he doesn't think of red or hearts. He hears a passionate opera.
Uh-huh.
Or when he thinks of anger, he hears cymbals smashing against each other. So everyone is different. And as long as you respect that and let the child go wherever, what's important to them, then they'll work with this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking to other body parts. What I wanted to say about that is, because there's one girl who was really angry, and we know if we stuff her anger, sometimes it we eat, we stuff her anger. If we don't stuff it, sometimes we're yelling and getting in trouble. So she was having trouble with one of her siblings, and what she pictured as her anger was a red bull in her knee. Her anger, she actually said that her anger looked like that. And so what could help? She thought of an image of a white filter that she put in her neck, and she said that way when her Red Bull came out, it didn't sound so mean. And she had the Red Bull for a good reason. She had the Red Bull because it protected her from the Red Bull and other people.
Mm-hmm.
So then what happened was one of her wizards gave her another gift, and the gift was of a love potion in her heart. And when she sprinkled this love potion on the red bull, it put the bull to sleep. And he turned into, instead of this red, pointy-eared creature, he turned blue and smiling, and his ears curled around, softened, and just put him to sleep. The love was what helped take away her anger.
Yeah. Wow.
It made a big difference. Now, one thing we haven't mentioned is the last tool, which I call tapping into energy. And that's the idea that there's energy all around us. And why ignore it? Why not let the kids be aware of it? Because they're aware of energy anyway. They meet someone, they don't like them, they have a friend, they don't feel good. Parents will say, oh, everything's fine. They pick it up. they pick up it's not everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for them to have a good handle on it so then they can work with it. So I do a simple exercise with parents, with kids, and that's just kind of rubbing your hands together. You know, rubbing the palms of your hands together for about a minute, and then if you start to let it go, you could feel the energy in between your hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very easy way just to show the idea of energy. It's something you don't really see, but you could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could work with it, and actually they could heat up their hands, play with the energy, and then they could send loving energy to themselves. They could imagine love inside their heart or love coming down from the universe or God or whatever they believe in, going around their heart, going into their hands, and then sending it back to themselves on their belly or in their heart area. It can be very comforting.
Mm, that sounds comforting. And I know what you mean, because I do some energy, sending of energy with some groups that I work with. And some people, some adults in that group, have no idea how to do that. So
right.
It's so
right.
Wonderful that you're teaching kids this ability so early on, because it can be comforting, as you said, but also it can be empowering.
Mm-hmm.
So do these tools work with kids of all ages?
They really do. You just kind of change the language that you use. Like, I had a boy who was actually 3.5 in my office, which is unusual.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And when he checked in with his heart and belly, they told him to share at preschool. So it was much more effective for him and powerful to hear that from himself, which he needed to learn to do, than to hear from his mom or dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's repeating what he knows, maybe what he's heard from his parents. So because he's getting in touch with it and it's coming from himself, he's more likely to follow his own advice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they're teenagers, maybe they don't like animal friends, so we just use a wise person.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the age, you could just change some of the language.
Yeah. You address that in your book, too.
Yes.
Right? So parents can be helped that way. Good.
Absolutely.
Well, one of my favorite chapters was your chapter 5 about everyone deserving to be happy, because that's about self-love, and that is an issue that I come across, like I mentioned earlier, with a lot of the women that I work with right now. And when we get down to the core of it, they don't understand about self-love because they didn't grow up knowing what that meant or how to be their own best friend. Instead, they're their own best critic.
Right.
So can we spend some time talking about this? How is it that so many people grow up undermining their beliefs about themselves?
Well, think about everyone's role models, because none of us really has gotten the love just the way we wanted it, as much as we wanted it. Our parents didn't get it, our grandparents didn't get it, life was tough or whatever. And so we really pass down how we've been treated to our kids. And even if we don't, we still make other mistakes, because being a parent is tough. So things are going to go wrong. So you have to learn to reparent yourself. You have to learn to repair any damage that was done, whether knowingly or unknowingly, from your parents. Because you don't want to be stuck in that cycle where it's like always blaming your parents, because then you're taking away from having a wonderful life.
Yeah.
You want to get the skills to move past that and to heal yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to go back to when you're 5 or 3 or 20, it's quite worth it. It's quite worth it, because every day is a new beginning. Every day you have a chance to make a difference in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just never too late. And yet I see little kids with the most wonderful parents not feeling good about themselves. And parents don't know where is this coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't know. Sometimes maybe they're coming in and that's their life lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you on that. What are the signs for a parent to discover if this is an issue for their child, if self-love is an issue?
You can watch their words. You can watch their actions. You know, often they'll give it away. I mean, kids often say, I hate myself, I want to die, I'm no good. Those are pretty obvious ones. But, you know, sometimes you just, they're not feeling good, they're in a bad mood. But if it's there, if it's coming out, I like to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes parents will say, thinks she wanted to kill herself, but I don't really think she believes it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's not likely going to kill herself, but she's feeling bad. So let's find out what that's about and help her.
Mm-hmm.
Or him.
Right. Now, can a parent help their child with this issue if they don't, if they haven't worked on it within themselves first? The self-loving.
I always tell parents the best thing you could do for your child is take good care of you. So it really is helpful if the parent could help themselves. Now, I'm not saying that always happens and you want to do, you know, the best you can for your child no matter what. So I wouldn't say to a parent, oh, I won't see your child unless you're in therapy or anything like that.
But
the idea is to be a little gentler with yourself if you're a parent.
Yeah.
And realize that we're all human. We all make mistakes. Nobody is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that happens. That's a problem when you want to be perfect and you're not, and you see yourself maybe failing. Maybe that's another time you'll eat.
Right, exactly.
You know, so
exactly.
It all leads back. I mean, it depends on your coping skills.
Uh-huh.
If you have positive coping skills, if you have the tools to talk to yourself, whether it's your animal friend or your wizard that's going to help you out, that's going to give you a gift to open your heart.
I think that being a role model to show kids, I'm going to take this time to nurture myself right now by going to do whatever, helps kids to see that they're valuable and they deserve to nurture themselves too.
Yes, and to show that I'm not perfect, and you don't have to be perfect either. We're just doing the best we can.
Yeah, right.
That's very important. Of course, kids learn from what you do more than what you say.
Yeah.
And they also pick up if you're acting in integrity, if you're doing what saying what you mean and doing what you say.
I know.
That's the best way you could teach. And then if you're not, okay, forgive yourself and, move on. Do what you can.
Right. I have long been a fan of positive self-talk.
Yeah.
So tell us how you use that with the children that you work with.
Well, I'll absolutely, and I want to go back to the parents because that's why I did the imagery for the parents, for parent support,
mm-hmm.
In that chapter on grown-ups need tools too.
Right.
Because it's so important to get all the help and support. So please, if you're a parent, if you're not a parent, give yourself some extra special tender loving care.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in terms of positive self-talk, mm-hmm. I am a fan of that. And it could be fun, it could be silly, but I'll either have the kids talk to themselves like, I could do this, I've done this before. Or I'll have them talk to themselves through their guide, to their animal friends or wizard, who are always positive with them. And sometimes the kids will do their own affirmations. I mean, even a child who's bedwetting, I'll have them talk themselves or think positively and imagine themselves already dry and what that's like and how that feels. So if I can get a child to, okay, right now you have no friends. Right now you're doing terrible in school. That's their story that they're telling me. How would you like life to be? Right now you're feeling like you're fat and nobody likes you. How would you like it to be? What is your life going to be like when you've reached these goals? So if I can help them create a picture, whether it's a visual or a verbal one, what they would like to have, then they're in a very good place because then we could take the steps to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're already starting out with a positive picture. And then we bring in their guides or other tools to see how they could walk on their path. And I'll have them imagine walking on their path and maybe even drawing their path so that when they get to the first obstacle, what does it look like? Okay, who could help you? Who's going to come and help you? Well, sometimes it's just themselves talking to themselves through their heart. Like their heart will say, one girl said, if I'm nicer to my sister, she'll be nicer to me. So in a way, that is a form of positive talk because she's using a positive picture, positive words, to help her through something.
Right.
So it all goes hand in hand. You want the positive images and the positive words. And sometimes they'll think of a few different kind of what we call affirmations,
mm-hmm.
where they repeat them to themselves. I am a good student. And I learned this from Jack Canfield like over 20 years ago.
It's me too.
And the idea is, you know, how the muscle testing,
mm-hmm.
if you say something negative Your muscles
right.
get weak and you hold your arm out. And if you say something positive, your arm stays strong. So I'll often even do that with the kids or the parents so they could feel it, so they could see the difference
mm-hmm.
between saying, I hate myself, and saying, I love myself. And
right.
if you do that, you start out with something simple like make up a funny name. So like, I am Henry. You know, my name is Henry. My name is Henry. and then use your real name. Because if you go right to hate and love, it's sometimes a little too much.
I do something similar with the women that I'm working with for releasing weight. And I have them create a picture in their mind, the essence of what it would be like to have what they want for their body
yeah.
and their life. And then I have them give that a name. And
lovely.
That's their persona or whatever, you know.
Right.
And they come up with all sorts of different names, like some of our goddess names. And one woman was Xena, warrior princess. And so then when they start their day, they start the day by taking on, you know, I am Xena, warrior princess. And does she sit on the couch and eat chips out of a bag watching TV at night? No. So, you know, it sounds a lot like what you're doing, but that works so well for people when they
yes.
take their persona.
It does, because the brain takes what you say as real. So,
mm.
I mean, just simply
right.
if you cut a lemon in quarters and bite into it, you start
right.
to pucker when you have yeah. that image. So if you have an image of Xena, warrior prince,
yeah.
you are becoming that.
Right.
And you start acting like her.
Well, I love that your book is full of examples and instructions of what to do and ideas in case the first steps don't really get the results.
Yes.
And all those. You just can't miss with all the information that you give, and especially love the example imageries. I just think it's truly a guidebook that any parent could use. So I was wondering if you could do one of the example imageries
yeah.
for us tonight.
Sure.
My favorite one, because of my love of self-love and the issue that I see with it, I just think that we can all benefit from that one. So if you could do that for us tonight, that would be just
wonderful. Oh, I would love to. I would love to. So everyone, just wherever you are, just kind of take a little time to get yourself comfortable. And you could listen to my words or fall asleep. And you might want to just kind of uncross your legs and arms and find a comfortable spot. So gently close your eyes and breathe slowly. Get comfortable. We're going to take an imagination trip. First, picture a beautiful day on a pleasant path. Imagine that you can turn around and walk back in time. Let's go back to last week or last month. Remember something fun that happened. Keep walking back. All the way back to last year or the year before. Maybe during the holidays or your birthday. Recall something special about those days. Take yourself back even further. Back to school. Back to high school, middle school, even elementary school. Take yourself back to preschool or kindergarten, to playing with your favorite toys, enjoying mom at home, or running in the park with dad or whoever was taking care of you. Let something that feels good stand out from that time. Now let's go all the way back to the day you were born. Imagine being welcomed into this life. Ask yourself if there is anything you would like to change. How do you want to be loved and accepted as you grow up? Go ahead and change it. Create exactly what you desire. Imagine being cherished from your first moment on earth. Notice how thrilled and blessed your parents feel to have you in their lives. See yourself as truly tiny, held perfectly and gently in their arms. They shower you with love and attention, more than your heart could desire. So you are completely filled. You deserve it just by being you and coming into this world. Allow yourself to have all the love that you ever hoped for. Really feel and see it, so you can take these thoughts and feelings with you. Picture yourself growing from day one to year one. Imagine your mommy or daddy holding and loving and caring for you just the way you want. And all your parents' words are spoken with kindness, gentleness, and warmth. Imagine love continuing to pour in as you grow. You are accepted and loved, and you grow healthy and strong. Your heart is filled with peace and joy and confidence. It's in your heart to be kind to others, to help others, to get along. These wonderful qualities are part of who you are now. As you go to preschool, to kindergarten, as you grow up. So grow yourself up. Take your time. Imagine yourself just 6 months ago and see how well you're turning out, having received love the way you want. And bring yourself to the age you are now. Notice any differences since you have received exactly what you needed and wanted while growing up. Take yourself into your future and see next week or next month or next year doing well, being happy, having fun, getting along with everyone, helping your family and friends, facing any problems you meet with confidence. Now take a giant leap into the way far future and imagine yourself all grown. Imagine having a wonderful life, whatever you choose to do. You feel so comfortable with yourself, and you have all the skills to work for what you want, for your heart's passion. Even now, as you're grown, you could do the same for yourself, for your future. take time to enjoy what you've created. Now you can give yourself the love you want and need with each breath and each thought. You can always return to the beginning, reimagining your life, and receive what you need. You have that power. When you're ready, bring yourself back into present time and slowly open your eyes.
Wonderful. That's just an example of what you'll find in Dr. Resnick's book. There are meditations at the end of each chapter, right?
Yes, all the subject chapters and the grown-up chapter, yes. And there are exercises for all the 9 tools.
Yes.
For them and lots and lots of exercises.
And are there some CDs that have these on them, too, that they can purchase?
Yes. You know, I did that because I wanted – some people like to read their own or make their own CDs, but some people prefer not. So I recorded all the scripts in the book. There's one CD for the 9 tools, and there's a double CD for all the scripts from the chapters. And there's another CD for parent support where I added some more meditation and some more words because they needed their own place.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, you can just go to my website and hear samples. And actually, some of the people who signed up emailed me for a download of this white light meditation from one of my other CDs, Discovering Your Special Place. So I invite everyone listening, just email me and say where you're from this call, and I will send you the secret site so you could just have a 6-minute white light meditation that's a great little break from whatever's happening in your life when you're near your computer.
Good. Well, your website again is www.imageryforkids.com.
Yes.
And I will send in the follow-up email that I send after each session, I'll send your email address and remind everyone about the white light meditation and also to go to your website and check out all the other tools. And
yes, you know what? If any people are interested when they buy the book, if they go to my site and click on the picture on the homepage of the book, it'll take them to a special page that when they buy the book online or even use a receipt from the store, they'll get access to 80 free gifts, downloadable gifts, plus deep discounts for all the CDs and downloads of the CDs. So that's if they're interested in doing that, that's probably the best way to go.
Yeah, great. I had fun doing that when I bought mine. And again, I highly recommend your book for people because I just feel like it's time that parents learned how to use this with their children so that they can grow into adults who know how to handle their anxiety and stress already.
Yes, and I'm actually looking at the back of the book, and there are these cute pictures that we have 2 pictures in. It's just on the back of kids that I work with.
Yeah.
And just a sweet little cat wizard and a little red bird animal friend that you'll read about. But I was so happy that I was able to, both these kids were very happy to share their drawings.
Yeah, they're cute. I wanted to ask you about sleep because I just read a recent study that was done by the researchers at the University of Michigan Center for Human Growth and Development that said that children aged 9 through 12 who sleep less than 9 hours a night can have problems with becoming overweight. So what can a parent do if they have a child that has difficulty sleeping?
Oh, well, I'm glad I have a chapter on sleep, so that'll help them. But really, it is very important to sleep. Our kids aren't sleeping as much, partly because there's so much going on during the day and they have to do so much. Lots of homework, lots of TV, lots of video games, hard to stop any of that.
Yeah.
Besides the normal things that parents know of a nice sleep routine, taking a hot bath and, you know, putting Epsom salts in it, have chamomile tea or something warm, or the tryptophan in hot milk. You want to teach them to deeply relax. So even if they're having trouble, you could record one of the CD, you know, the images, or use a CD to fall asleep. But even just focusing on their breath, a lot of kids imagine, where would you like to fall asleep, I might ask. And so some kids like to imagine floating in the clouds. Some kids like to imagine swinging in a swing. Some image that's rhythmic seems to help them fall asleep. Some of them like to have their special animal friend. Some, like the other girl, has a little sleeping powder that she says falling asleep slowly. Just whatever they know inside. All you have to do is set it up to have them ask. Then you also have the other child who falls asleep but wakes up in the middle of the night and has trouble going back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You want to help that person also, because I have some parents that actually set up the CD so the kids just put them right by back on in the middle of the night. But if you're sleeping with a brother or sister, you can't always do that unless you have earplugs.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to teach them those breathing skills, those images that they come up with on their own, or you might suggest some that could help them, and wash away their fears, wash away their worries, using color to just like, okay, where do you keep your fear of going back to sleep? Where's your confidence that you could put yourself back to sleep? Okay, what happens when you fill your whole body up with your breath and the color of confidence? How does that feel? For me, having worked with the kids over the last 20 years or so, I've tried to distill all these ideas down to very simple skills, because I think simple is sometimes, you know, the best way to go.
Yeah.
And this way it's easy to remember, and they focus on their breathing. If they have worries, you know, the old progressive muscle relaxation, or I tell them to talk to their body parts, like toes. I start out with like, okay, toes relax, and then they go through their whole body. And if they're not asleep, then they go toes sleep. So I teach them to do in that really slow, deep voice for themselves and try to use, well, it's really self-hypnosis, just to put them in themselves in that kind of a sleepy trance state.
Mm-hmm.
And then if something is keeping them from sleeping, they could ask inside, what's the first obstacle? What is it? Is it fear? Is it worry? Is it that they can't get their mind to stop racing? That happens a lot because they're worried about the, you know, the next day or a test.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get to wash it away. Sometimes we wash out our brain, so we wash out the worries. Now, are you getting some questions coming in?
I do have one question from Barb, and she says, and we just have a couple minutes left, so
yeah.
I have one overweight child and one that's not. There seems to be a lot of sibling rivalry. What do I do?
Yeah, that happens a lot. I'm not sure if the sibling rivalry is coming because of the weight difference or just the natural sibling rivalry. So you want to work on those core issues and accept the kids individually. And I know it's sometimes it's really hard to balance that. So you want to create some kind of real love going on in between them. And what I've done with families a lot is actually have the whole family be together and create their own imagination picture. Like, how would you like things to be in the family? You're fighting, you're not getting along. What would you like? Would you like to get along better? And most of the time they'll say, yes, I'd like to get along better. Oh, great. What would that look like? What would that feel like? And then they go, oh, we'd be getting along. We'd be playing. We'd be sharing. Okay, how can I help you? What would you need to do? Like I did this just last week, brother and a sister. What would you need to do personally? What would be your responsibility? What would you like to contribute to getting along better? Oh, I guess I shouldn't pick on him so much. And then the boy said, oh, I guess I should appreciate her sense of humor. So you help your children figure out the problem using their imagination with your assistance rather than fixing it for them. You help them fix it for themselves. And then you could say, what assistance do you need from me to get there? And then it's a work in progress. So how'd we do today? I mean, sometimes even I'll do like little, depending on the age of the kids, do like a marble jar or a rock jar and catch them getting along, and then just that positive reinforcement. They really like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it gets to the top, we go to Disneyland or
pier
or something like that.
Uh-huh. Well, that reminds me of something else that I'm very interested in talking to you about, too, in the minute we have left. I really like the accountability, that whole thing about the jar and really tracking and looking and being aware and mindful of, are we doing what we said we were going to do? But I think in your book you talk about computers and technology that have enhanced communication and research, but
right.
you mentioned that they've disturbed our natural sense of time, and
yes.
everyone expects instant results. Instant
right.
results. And so do you believe that children are now growing up with the expectation of instant gratification and don't have the skill of delaying gratification? And what are the consequences?
I think it depends on the family. Certainly some are. It's just easy to fall into that trap because everything is so quick. And, in fact, when kids get on the computer at age 3, their brains are different than our brains because those brains are exploding with little neuron connections over those next few years. So they're different brains than we have. But, yes, I could see that happening. So we want to have a balance.
Mm-hmm.
We want to balance that. That's why I'm teaching them to go inside to balance what's going on outside.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that could help enrich their life a little bit more.
Yeah, and that's why if they put the marbles in the jar and then they get to do something after it's filled, that gives them this sense of we're working towards something instead of we get to have it right now because we want it now.
Right. Right, and then we usually take about a month to fill the whole jar up, and sometimes, depending on the kid's age, we might do, 2 weeks or even at the end of 1 week, they'll pick something smaller, like pick a movie or where they want to go eat or something like that. One of the other things that was really lovely that kids like and families like is to notice and compliment each other at the dinner table, because usually that's often one time they're together, not
yeah.
always. Could be breakfast, could be dinner, could be a weekend. But just give appreciation to each other.
Yeah,
what
a great idea. Okay, well, we are at the top of the hour now, so is there anything else? That was a wonderful tip right there. Is there anything else that you can think of that you haven't had a chance to say that you really wanted to express?
Well, I
want to
tell the listeners out there, the parents, the not parents, the ones that have inner kids, to be patient with yourself, trust yourself, and acknowledge your strengths and focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
When you focus on what you want, you're more likely to get it
mm-hmm.
and to reach it.
Right.
Be gentle.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being
thank
with
you.
Us. I think we could go on talking for another hour.
Yes. Another time.
Yeah. And your website again is www.imageryforkids.com. I also will make sure and want to really encourage everyone to go download that white light meditation. So I'll make sure
yeah.
that you get the information on how to get that. It was on our bonus page for the telesummit. So if you're really anxious and want to get that before I have a chance to send the email out, you can go there too. And make sure that you get Dr. Resnick's book because it really is a transformational set of tools for you to use with your children. Thanks again, Dr. Charlotte. It's just been wonderful.
Pleasure. Thank you.
And good night. Good night, everyone.
Night.